I haven't told many people about this, but a number of years ago, I saw Jesus. Actually met him face to face, shook his hand. And I want to tell you a little bit about that experience in this episode of Now is the Time. Friends, welcome to the Now is the Time podcast. I'm your host, Caleb Succo. And as I already told you, we're going to be talking about meeting Jesus. Not meeting him on the pages of Scripture, but face to face. This is the Now's the Time podcast, episode season 3, episode 5. I'm coming to you from Odessa, Ukraine, where I am sitting on my couch in my living room on a early Friday morning. And you know, things have been a little bit crazy here recently with ministry. It's been hard for me to kind of keep my head above water. But I'm thankful that God has given us many, many opportunities to serve Him here. And before we dive into the content for this episode of the Now is the Time podcast, I do want to let you know that you can get this podcast on iTunes. If you check the show notes at succofamily.org, there should be a link there. Or just search, the easiest way to find it on iTunes, just search for my name, Caleb Succo, and you'll probably find it there on iTunes. Or if you're on an Android device, I don't know, whatever podcast catcher, should be there, friends. So I really appreciate you listening, appreciate your responses to the podcast episodes. So just know that I really like the feedback and try to respond to you as much as I can, as long as I've got my head a little bit above water, ministry-wise. But thanks for listening. Thanks for being there. Want to share with you a couple of things coming up here in the ministry that you can be praying for. March, my goodness. March is just going to be a really full month for us. And so, personally, I would just really appreciate your prayers for me, as I have a lot to prepare for speaking-wise this month. I can't remember a month where I've been doing so much speaking, and I was talking to Christina just the other day, and she's like, why do you do that to yourself? I was like, well, I don't try, you know. She's talking about, like, why do you, you know, allow yourself to get so busy? Like, well, I don't really try to do that to myself. It seems like it just happens sometimes. But, you know, friends, I mean, this is ministry, and we have to use our time to serve. And so it's about service. But I do try and keep a balance to make sure I get some rest. Tomorrow's my day off, so I will be taking the day off tomorrow. But appreciate your prayers for me. Let's see. So what kinds of things are coming up that you can be praying for? The first thing would be pray for our... I'm going to be doing a seminar on expository preaching on March 11th. That's going to be in the city of Nikolaev. They've invited me to come and speak on expository preaching to their preachers there. And I think that is a very... to me, one of, you know, it's very a valuable time, because in that sense, I'm able to reach and touch those who will be going out and teaching many other people. And honestly, one of the biggest problems that we have, and this is not just a Ukrainian problem, but it is a problem, I think, throughout the church worldwide, is that preaching has denigrated to something other than the clear communication of God's word. And so one of the main goals that I have whenever I do seminars on expository preaching is trying to just bring back that clarity, that clearness of our task as a preacher, to take the truth that is in God's word, apply it to our, understand it, study it and understand it, apply it to our own hearts, and then communicate it to those listening in a way that they can understand and in a way that the Holy Spirit can use it effectively in their lives for application, and in a way that is honest with the text. Because what happens if we lose focus on that? We just begin to preach just our opinions and the things that we like. Anyway, that is for another podcast, friends. I can already tell I'm getting sidetracked there. So March 11th, I'm going to be doing a preaching seminar in the city of Nikolaev. Appreciate your prayers for that. Then the following week, I'm going out to eastern Ukraine. I'm going to be just about 30 miles or so from the front lines of the war there, and we are doing a special seminar for those people who are working in those areas where people have been very traumatized by the war, and many of them may have post-traumatic stress. And how do you minister in that kind of situation? How do you minister if you have post-traumatic stress? And how do you effectively share the gospel and minister to people who have post-traumatic stress? I'm not going to be leading that seminar. We've invited an experienced army chaplain who has dealt with that and has spoke on that in many countries, and he's going to be our main speaker there. But appreciate your prayers for the organization of that church leadership conference on post-traumatic stress in eastern Ukraine. That is going to be on, let's see if I have the dates in my head. I don't have a calendar in front of me. That'll be the March 14th through the 16th. Yeah, March 14th through the 16th. And then as soon as I get back from there, we've got this youth conference going on in our church that we've opened up for the youth. Actually, we have youth coming from several different cities to our church for this conference on sexual purity. And I have the task of, they asked me, that there's going to be several main speakers, and I'm one of them, and they asked me to speak on sin. So I'm like, wow, you know, that's going to be heavy. This is just speak on what is sin and why is it so terrible. So on one hand, I'm looking and thinking, man, that is going to be heavy. That is going to be a real, in a way, a chore to wade through. But on the other hand, I know it's going to be healthy for me, and I know it's going to be healthy for those youth, because if there's any big problem, it's the problem that we take too light of a view of sin. And so I'll probably be bringing you some of that content on the podcast around that time too. And then, oh yeah, we have our family conference going on, how to share the gospel within the context of your family is coming up this month too. And I've got some. By the way, I want to offer you a opportunity if you would like to help with a sponsorship for our family conference. We're doing that outside of Kyiv. We're planning on hopefully around 150 people or so for that. And one of the things that we want to do is we want to give out a good book on the gospel. And so we've got this book by Paul Washer. I'll put a link to it in the show notes. It's translated into Russian on preaching the gospel and true repentance. I don't remember that's the exact name, but I'll put a link in the show notes. Paul Washer's got three pretty great books out on all on the gospel and its various aspects. And so we're giving that out. But we do, friends, we really could use some sponsors for that family conference coming up, how to share the gospel in your family. And so if you'd like to do that, you can just contact me, or if you go on our website, just look at the, up there on the top, there's a link that says support, and you can give through our mission to that. And we'd really appreciate it. That I'm excited about it, because this is just an opportunity for us to not only instruct people on how to share the gospel, but to encourage and exhort them to share the gospel. And I will probably be bringing you some of that content on the podcast too. Of course, you know, that conference is in Russian, of course. So those are kind of the ministry things coming up this month. Like I said, it's going to be a very busy month, and that's in addition to all of our regular church things going on and preaching at church and, you know, our home church here, Hope for People. So appreciate if you could keep us in your prayers. If you want to give, if you'd like to support some of these efforts, yeah, just let me know or check out the link on sucofamily.org. Okay, friends, so let's get back to what I was talking about at the beginning of this podcast. Maybe that shocked you a little bit that I said I met Jesus, but it's the truth. I have met Jesus, and here's what I can tell you about him. He's a great guy. He was very nice to talk with. We had some pretty long conversations, and he's about, I didn't measure him, but I would say he's probably about 5'5". He's definitely shorter than I am, and I'm like 5'9". So maybe he's like 5'5", 5'6". Yeah, probably 5'6", I would say. Just medium built, say 150 pounds or so, dark hair, brown eyes. And here's an interesting fact about him. He really likes aquariums. That's one of, I mean, he was just talking to me about how much he really enjoys saltwater aquariums with live coral in them. And so he even showed me some pictures of his aquariums and some of the, it was very beautiful, actually, very beautiful. So you may wonder what I'm talking about. Like, really? You met Jesus? Like, is this a joke? No, it's actually not a joke. This is what I'm telling you is 100% true. And let me just give you some of the backstory on it so that you can understand what I'm talking about. This actually happened, let me think, how many years ago? I think 13 years ago. This happened 13 years ago. It was a moment in our lives. It was, I would classify as a crisis. At that time, our son, Mishael, was in the hospital. He had been diagnosed with cancer. And it was a very difficult time for us in that sense that we had no guarantee that he would be healed, that he would make it through. But the doctors were doing their best. And so Mishael had gone through chemotherapy, four rounds of chemotherapy, and then they said, we need to do an operation to remove what is remaining of the tumor. Now Mishael was just under 2 years old at that time. He was like 20 months or something. And so that point where they had to do the surgery was a difficult point for us in that whole process, because that was kind of another situation where, you know, something could go wrong. And so, of course, we prayed about it a lot. The church supported us in their prayers, and people came and visited and encouraged us. And many people, even all around the world, were praying for us. And so the day of the surgery, of this pretty major surgery, they had to go into his abdomen, pull out this large tumor, basically almost cut him in half to get it out. And the day of the surgery, we went into the hospital, and we were there with Mishael, and saw him go off on the bed and rolling down the hallway into the surgery room. And they told Christina and I, said, well, you can go and wait up in intensive care, because after surgery, he will go straight to intensive care. And so we went up there, and when we got up to the intensive care area of the hospital, they said, okay, well, his room is going to be right down here, so why don't you just go and you can wait in his room. Now, in intensive care, the way that works, the pediatric intensive care, you have one nurse that is either only taking care of one patient or taking care of two patients, not like in the regular part of the hospital where one nurse might be overseeing, I don't know, 10, 12 or more patients. And so what they had set up in that room was they had a whiteboard, and on the whiteboard there was written, today your nurse is, and then a dash, and then the name of your nurse. And so when we went into that room, we looked up on that whiteboard, And there we saw something very interesting. It said, today your nurse is - Jesus. We're like, wow. Christine and I looked at each other and we're like, oh, that's kind of interesting. I guess maybe somebody knew that we were Christians and maybe they just wanted to encourage us. And so they just thought, well, let's write Jesus here. That will be comforting to Caleb and Christina. That was my thoughts when I saw that. But then about 5 minutes later, our nurse walked through the door into the room. It was a male nurse, put out his hand, shook his hand. He said, hey, nice to meet you. My name, well, he said it with a Spanish accent, is Jesus. And then I realized that our nurse really was Jesus. Well, Jesus, if you say it with a Spanish accent. And I realized that this wasn't a joke. And so everything I did tell you about meeting Jesus is true. He was about 5'6", 150 pounds or so, liked aquariums, and he was probably the best nurse that we ever had during that whole time of being in the hospital with Mishael. And so I did meet Jesus, Jesus. He wasn't the Jesus of the Bible. But here's the thing, and here is why I wanted to share this story with you. When we do our Good Soil seminars on evangelism and discipleship, one of the things that we talk about is different world views. And how when there's different world views in play, which there always is, it can be the cause of miscommunication. And we can say one thing, and the other person thinks something completely different. And certainly that was the case when we walked into that hospital room and we saw written on the board, your nurse is Jesus. My only thought was, Jesus Christ, Savior and Lord and God. It didn't even occur to me at all to think that, well, this actually could just be the nurse's name, because I had never met anyone in my life. Well, maybe I have, but I just didn't remember. But it's not common in English for someone's name to be Jesus. And so, but if you go to Spanish culture, Jesus is quite common. And this is why, friends, we have to be so careful in sharing the gospel. And it is why, as much as possible, if we can, it is important to know whom we are sharing the gospel with. To whom are we sharing the gospel? Because the more that we know them, the better we can avoid some of these misunderstandings. So, for instance, if I was sharing the gospel with someone from a Spanish-speaking culture, I might choose not to just ask them, do you know Jesus? Because they're going to say, well, yeah, of course I do. He's my cousin. Or maybe they would say, well, which Jesus are you talking about? I mean, he's my best friend, or he's my teacher, or he, you understand? If you don't understand at least somewhat of the worldview that the person has to whom you're sharing the gospel, you can easily make these simple mistakes. And so in our seminar called Good Soil that we teach here in Ukraine, and also it's taught by our mission actually quite all over the world, I think, right now, we talk about something called the okay, I'm thinking in Russian now. It's called the Shum of, that doesn't work. It's the static, that's what it is. It is the worldview noise or static. It is kind of that sound like shh that you would, let's say, would be on, would be on a radio that where the frequency wouldn't be coming in quite clear. And sometimes there's that static, there's that noise between you and the person that you're talking to when you don't understand their worldview, and they can have these miscommunications. Another great example of that is, I think, and I don't have personal experience with this necessarily. Well, actually, I do in a way, but that would be, let's say, a worldview like a Hindu worldview, where they have many, many gods, and you start talking to them about Jesus, and you're telling them that they should believe in Jesus and they should worship him, and they're like, yeah, that's great, I will, you know, and where can I get this Jesus idol so that I can put him on the shelf with all my other idols? And if we don't know their worldview, then we completely miscommunicate to them important, vital truths of the gospel. And this is also, friends, another reason why, and I mentioned this in a previous podcast, why gospel formulas can be so dangerous. Because if we come with the same formula to every person, then we will somewhere along the line have huge miscommunication because of the different worldview factors. And so when we think about sharing the gospel, when we have those opportunities, think clearly how much you know about this person. What kind of worldview do they have? Do they have a pluralistic worldview? Do they have a worldview that says there's a lot of gods and they could just add another one? Do they have a postmodern worldview that says truth is relative? Or what kind of worldview are you coming up against, and what is it going to be important for you to explain maybe in a different way than you would explain to someone else? And Jesus was really a master at doing this. If we look at how he shared the gospel, he never did it the same way twice. I mean, you know, like to Nicodemus, he's telling him, you got to be born again. And it's just blowing his mind. To the young rich man who came to Jesus, he's telling him, you got to sell all you have and give it to the poor, which is also blowing his mind, you know. But all of those things were specifically related to the specific problem or worldview issues in that person. So friends, when you share the gospel, make sure you're thinking about the person whom you're sharing it with. Learn about them as much as you can, and then share it in a way that would be understandable to them. That's not always an easy task, but it is. It is an important task. And I believe that if we do it, if we do it well, then we can avoid some of these problems that come up with worldview issues. All right, friends. We are coming to the end of the podcast here. And again, I want to just thank you for joining and remind you that you can catch podcast notes, prayer updates, things like that at succofamily.org. Appreciate your prayers, and appreciate you, if you can, give this podcast a rating on iTunes, or give it a little, you know, however many stars you think it deserves. Write a little review. That really does help. And also, friends, if you can pray, and we could also use your support. So check out that information on how to give through our mission ABWE on our website, succofamily.org. And until next time, I hope that you have met Jesus, probably not face to face, not yet anyway, but you have met him on the pages of Scripture, and that you believe in him, and may you have great opportunity to share him with others.